Welcome to the On the Green podcast, where we'll give you the latest news and events from the world of golf and spotlight golf courses from around Northeast Florida and the First Coast. We'll take you inside the ropes with interviews, strategies for playing the courses, and get a tip from the head professional. Each show will also feature an interview with a prominent golf insider. They'll share firsthand stories and insights you won't hear anywhere else. Now, here's your host of On the Green, Tim Eiley.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of On the Green Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Eiley. We're coming to you from Studio Podcast Suites here in Jacksonville, Florida. You can find this podcast on your favorite podcast platform or check us out on our website, onthegreenconsulting.com. There you can also find my monthly blog, which I hope you'll enjoy. Now on today's show, I welcome the CEO and Executive Director of the North Florida PGA Section of the PGA of America, Steve McMillan. Now the North Florida Section is one of the largest of the 41 sections throughout the U.S., covering the northern 43 counties of Florida east of the Apalachicola River. So it's going to be a great show, so welcome to the 24th edition of On the Green Podcast. Now, before I welcome our guest to the show, I had a question from a couple of the listeners that I'd like to clear up. I want to let everybody know there is a difference between the PGA of America and the PGA Tour. Now, we've talked about this before. It used to be one organization until the split in 1968. So for those of you that are not familiar, the PGA of America is the association that governs the over 29,000 men and women club professionals at the local club level, while the PGA Tour is the sanctioning body of professional golf tournaments. So yes, the PGA of America does operate a couple of events on the PGA Tour schedule, but those events, like the Masters and the U.S. Open, are sanctioned by the PGA Tour. So a little bit further, Justin Thomas is on the PGA Tour. Bruce Mohler is the head professional at Jacksonville Beach Golf Course. So hopefully that eliminates some of the confusion. And now on with the show. It is my pleasure to welcome the CEO and Executive Director of the North Florida PGA Section, Steve McMillan, to the show. Steve is a 32-year golf industry veteran and a Class A member of the PGA of America. Prior to his current post, Steve led Golf House Kentucky and the Kansas City Golf Association, as well as, this is pretty cool, being Tom Watson's right-hand man as the director of the Watson Challenge. Now, he's been at the helm of the North Florida PGA Section for 4 years, leading over 1,500 men and women PGA professionals throughout North and Central Florida. Steve, welcome to On the Green Podcast.
Well, Tim, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here and talking about our passion of golf.
Nothing Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I mentioned a little bit in the intro there, but give us a quick snapshot of your career and what led you to the North Florida Section.
Well, it's a long story, 32 years worth, but I began my career while I was still in college and had a great opportunity to go ahead, and at that point in time, it was called an apprenticeship, and begin working under a couple of golf professionals in Lawrence, Kansas. And then as I gradually went through that, earned my membership, was working at a very nice club, Indian Hills Country Club in Kansas City. And kind of through a unique course of events, I kind of went from the traditional club pro route to working in association management. And started working for the Kansas Golf Association, which ultimately led me to my jobs as executive director with the Kansas City Golf Association and in Golf House, Kentucky. So a little bit different route than some administrators, but I always love to say as I started my roots out just as a good old club professional, teaching and running a club, and had that little detour, and it's been a sweet detour for me because I just love what I do.
Oh, that's awesome. So tell us a little bit about what you did for Tom Watson.
Well, you know, it's quite the cool thing. I grew up in the Kansas City area, and Tom Watson was my hero. I mean, he was my guy in golf, and in my role in Kansas City, one day, Mr. Watson, he called us into his office one day, and we're not really sure what he wanted to talk about and all that, but I was in charge of the amateur golf. Another person was in charge of professional golf in town. And we had our presidents there, and he sit us down, and he goes, guys, he says, I got this idea. And he says, you know, when I grew up as a kid, he says, you know, the pros and the amateurs would get together every Monday. And we would just get together and we would tee it up and we'd go out there and we'd beat each other's brains in to find out who the best was. And he goes, you know, it just doesn't happen anymore. He says, the pros and the AMs, you know, the pros got all their events and the AMs got their events, but we don't have something together. So he says, what I want to do, he says, I want to create a tournament. And he says, I want to do it in June when the golf courses are the best. I want to do it at the best golf courses in Kansas City. And we're going to tee it up and we're going to find out who the best is. You're like, yeah, that sounds pretty cool. You know, what are you thinking? And here's the best part is, and he says, and I'm going to tee it up right along every one of them.
Oh, is that right?
And that's what it was. I mean, Tom basically just said, hey, I'm going to prove I can still beat all these. I mean, at that point in time, he was a senior and he was already having fun calling himself the old geezer all the time. But so it got off and going. And then as we kind of got going to that and working with it and concepting it, one day he calls me in the office and he kind of points his finger in my chest and he says, I want you to be my fireman. And I go, what do you mean fireman? He says, I want you to run this for me. He says, make me proud. And he says, tell me what you need and let's get her done. And you know, it was an awesome six years of doing that before I ended up moving on to Kentucky. And it was an absolute dream come true. And hey, you know what? The old geezer won quite a few of those tournaments while I was there.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. He still got game.
You know what? He still tees it up. I think this is the year he turned 70 in September. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't missed a single one of them. And I think now the tournament's getting close to 15, 16 years now. Wow. And, you know, he's not playing a lot on the Champions Tour. He still goes out and plays a little bit. But as long as he can be competitive, I think he'll continue to play in that event. And the guy knows how to play.
No question about it. No, one of my favorites for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the PGA of America has 41 sections covering the U.S. that includes over 29,000 male and female members. And which is pretty cool, having men and women professionals. I don't know if a lot of people know that. Now, you're headquartered in Kissimmee, Florida, just outside of Orlando. But I understand the North Florida PGA section covers a very large territory. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we do have a pretty wide map. And the way I always love to describe it to somebody is, first off, the name's a little bit of a misnomer, is we're North and Central Florida. And we are the northern 43 counties east of the Apalachicola River. So when you look at our territories and you just kind of draw a line from one city to another, we start pretty much at Tallahassee, we go over to Jacksonville, we come down the coast to Daytona and Melbourne, then it includes Orlando, the villages, Ocala, Tampa, and then we all go all the way down to Sarasota and then dip just a little bit further south there with Port Charlotte, and that's our area. So when it's all said and done, it's 43 counties, some pretty major major cities, and about 650 golf-related businesses are in that area. So those 1,500 men and women, they're doing a lot of things. They're ranging from the club professionals to the teaching professionals to the management executives, and a lot of people, some of them are involved in sales professional roles as well.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, you've basically taken your section and you've broken it up into four chapters. So tell us the reasoning behind the four chapters.
Well, you know, it's a great question, Tim. And it's really geography. When you get down to it and you start saying, we serve somebody in Jacksonville and we also serve somebody in Sarasota, and then you do the complete opposite, we serve somebody in Tallahassee and we serve somebody in Melbourne. How do you serve those people? And in an association, you want to serve them at the lowest possible local level. And mm-hmm. we end up calling that our communities. And so the powers to be, when we got started there, really looked at that, looked at the uniqueness and said, hey, we've really got four areas. We've got the northern third mm-hmm. of the state, which really encompasses Jacksonville. So you really kind of think of Jacksonville centric. Then you've got the east central area, which is the coast, Daytona, also the villages, Orlando. Then you've got the west central, which really is Tampa. And then you get down in our Southwest chapter, which is more of the Sarasota area. And you know what's neat with that is we're able to serve those men and women golf professionals at that local level. But each one of those four areas, they're so different. Jacksonville is kind of more what I would think of a very traditional golf town. Sure. It's a traditional city. You get to Orlando, and yeah, we don't have a lot of traditions, but I mean, it's heavy on the resort side. Obviously, we're one of the resort capitals of the world. You get down into Sarasota, it's a lot like Naples. I mean, it's a winter haven. And then Tampa, Tampa's more of just a community, but yet you kind of got a little mix of resort. You got a little mix of people that live there every day, plus, you know, more of that snowbird weather. So each area is just so different, and the chapters allow us to serve those memberships in the unique ways at the local level, so they don't have to travel all over the place over the state.
And I think that makes absolutely perfect sense when you explain it like that. Because again, like you said, you're covering 43 counties, you're covering, you know, most of North and Central Florida. So yeah, I mean, it's gotta be, you have to serve, the 1500 folks under your exactly. umbrella. So that's a great way to do it. Now, exactly. Now, as you know, as most associations do, you know, the PGA of America and your section have annual awards. And I know that the professionals that I know that have won, you know, awards over the years, just, I mean, they covet those, they cherish those. And in everything from professional of the year, teacher of the year, merchandiser of the year, and everything in between. But I'd like to focus for just a minute about the Patriot Award, because it has to do with the military, which is near and dear to my heart and many of our listeners' hearts. So how important is the Patriot Award, and what does someone need to do to earn it?
Well, you know, once again, you're exactly right. All of our awards are special, and the top of the top crown is being able to us to recognize who's the best of the best as the professional of the year. But when we look down at the Patriot Award winner, what's really incredible about that award is that is really, it's a golf professional who gives selflessly back to the men and women who have really, you know, I mean, they serve our country. They give us the freedom that we live in. And in some cases, they've provided the ultimate sacrifice, and they're just not the same when they come back and they're becoming a civilian life again. So that person is somebody who is so passionate about serving and giving back to the men and women who, like I said, protect our very much freedom that we live under. We were very, very fortunate. One of our members in 2019, his name was Ken June, and unfortunately he's passed away from cancer since then, was recognized as the national Patriot Award winner. And when you go and you look at what Ken June did, Ken June was out there really helping our heroes. And what's, I think we're going to talk a little bit about PGA Hope, so I won't get into there. But, you know, here's someone who's just giving his heart and soul to the military men and women. And towards the end, when Ken was still struggling from cancer, he was out there teaching these military heroes. And here he's got a chemo pump that's on his back pocket while he's giving this. And wow. one of the higher up military, and pardon me, I don't remember his exact title, if he was a colonel or a major, but you know, he was in tears when we were doing an interview with the one time, because he says here's a guy out here taking care of my troopers and he's got a chemo pump on him. And that just shows you the passion that somebody gives back to take care of those who once again provide us our freedom. And it's just pretty special. It just gives you goosebumps. And when we go to our national awards every year, and even at our local awards level, that's the award that just gets everybody chills when we see that, because you hear the story of the men and women who win that award and what they do to give back. It's incredibly special.
Oh, I think that's just, yeah, that kind of chokes you up when you really think about it. And it is a passion. It's definitely a passion. Giving it back to our military, because, you know, a lot of them, like you said, come back with not only PTSD, but, you know, missing limbs and so forth. I mean, they see a lot of things that we'll never see, hopefully, in our lifetime. So whatever we can do to give back to those men and women is fantastic. And I think Patriot Award is very, very suited, you know, suiting for those folks. Mm-hmm. So the PGA of America is in the business of serving its members and also growing the game. And I know that the PGA of America has a lot of really impressive initiatives. Why don't you talk about a few of those, if you would?
Well, I think one of the most exciting ones that we could look at is let's talk youth, let's talk military, but let's talk youth first. And we own and operate what's known as PGA Junior League. And PGA Junior League is an incredible way to get youth involved in the game and get them involved in a very inclusive way. Boys and girls are playing together. It's not like, oh, you have boys over here, girls over here. I mean, they're teeing it up. They're partners. They're playing in a two-person scramble. And it just gets them so involved in the game. And it teaches them, you know, it has competition to it. Mm-hmm. And you see it at the end of the year in the national finals and so forth there. But when you go to the local grassroots level and you see these kids, they're just having fun. You know, they make a birdie and they run around, they give each other high fives and they run around the green three or four times. or after they win their match, they dogpile each other. You know, just kids having fun. And that's what golf is. It's, you know, so long golf has had this tradition that it's old, it's stuffy, and it's that. That's not golf at all. Golf is such an incredible game. And it brings together the whole world together. And that's what PGA Junior League is. It celebrates it and it gets those kids excited. And I tell you what's just really exciting is we see that it's actually bringing their parents and their brothers and their siblings and so forth into the game. A parent that's maybe never played golf sees their kids having so much fun. And then what we see is that parent then maybe goes and gets a membership at that country club or, mm-hmm. or maybe gets a patron pass at that public golf course. And they start playing, and they start playing with their kids. And it's just incredible how vibrant it is. You know, here in North and Central Florida, we're going to have over 1,500 kids participate in PGA Junior League this year. And it's a year-long program. Obviously, we're lucky to be in the sun, mm-hmm. and we can do that. But it is all across the country. It's amazing at the growth and just to see how those kids are going. On the opposite spectrum of that is PGA Hope. And I mentioned this a little bit when I spoke with Ken June. Mm-hmm. PGA Hope is about providing recreational therapy to our men and women of service. And, you know, it doesn't matter if they've, you know, been unfortunate and they've given the ultimate sacrifice and they have a disability now. Or maybe it's just they want to identify with someone that you know, has shared a similar experience with them. So it's an opportunity where we bring our military veterans together and we teach them the game. And in some cases, we've got to get very, very creative because we've got to be working with somebody who has is an amputee and maybe missing an arm or maybe it's missing a leg or maybe they're dealing with PTSD. But our golf professionals that are teaching this PGA Hope, it's all about just giving them something that they can believe in, giving them something that rekindles their passion for everything in life. And you go to it and you see this happening and you see it and you've heard the stories. And one time I heard this story and it was one of the people who came to our PGA Hope Orlando. And he went to his brother and he says, "Hey, I'm just not feeling really good today. But you know what? I can't miss PGA Hope. I got to be there for my brothers and sisters." And so forth. He went to the PGA Hope. He came home, and a couple of days later, you know, he's in the hospital and having a heart bypass. Here was a guy who had the early signs of possibly having a heart attack, but he was not going to miss PGA Hope because it was that important to him for him to be with his fellow veterans, learning the game, and in a way, he was kind of helping them there too, mm-hmm. Of saying, "Hey, it's okay. Let's use golf. Let's get something together." So. PGA Hope, it's incredible. And then you take somebody like Ken June, who gave so much, and to be able to see how, you know, again, here's a person dying of cancer, but yet he's out here working with our veterans, making their lives better by providing this recreational therapy to it. It's a very, very special program.
I've just, you know, I happened to see a little bit of that firsthand. I was doing a what's now a Corn Ferry Tour, doing an event mm-hmm. in Savannah, and we went over to Fort Stewart. And we did a little clinic over there with a couple of the Corn Ferry guys, and it was just absolutely packed with the military. I mean, the guys that were there on base, and I remember there was a whole section of guys that were missing limbs that were over, and they had put, you know, a special cart together for a couple of them with a seat that swings out, and you know, they were with one arm, you know, they're out there, one arm, no legs, and they're out there hitting balls, which was just, I mean, wow.
And they wouldn't miss it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Having a good time.
You better believe it.
It is. And you know, earlier you asked about, you know, our chapters and so forth and how we deliver programming. We're really excited. We now have a PGA Hope chapter in every single one of our chapters. So we have one in Sarasota. We have one in Orlando. We have one in Tampa. The one in Tampa has become very, very special because we've been able to name it after the Ken June. So it's the Ken June PGA Hope Tampa chapter. And then we're just launching one up in Jacksonville. Actually, we were all set to launch it last year, and the pandemic kind of made us put on pause. But we're looking forward to working with the VA and being able to get our veterans in Jacksonville to come out later this year and get that chapter started.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Wow. I just think anytime you can, again, help those who have given us the freedoms we have, it's extremely important. Sure. Now, you know, of course, you know, you need finances to do a lot of the things you're doing. And I know you all team up with some corporate partners, you know, that help, you know, all the tournaments that you all run on a yearly basis and things. How do partnerships in the corporate sector help your section and then the clubs and everything under your umbrella?
Well, they help us a bunch. You know, at the end of the day, our core purpose is to serve our members and to grow the game. We do have dues structure for our PGA members. We do have funding that we receive from the PGA of America. But at the end of the day, we can't do a lot of things without us having additional funding. And so we reach out to the golf community as well as people outside the golf community to create strategic partnerships. And a lot of times those partnerships, it's an investment of cash. Sometimes it's an investment of products and services or other strategic alliances. But at the end of the day, you know, we need those companies. And, you know, working with great golf companies, working with, say, a Callaway Golf or working with a Global Golf Sales, those companies just really make it all good. And that's kind of who we love to work with, is those golf companies. But there's a lot of people that we work with outside the company. Cadillac, for example, Lincoln, those are some great examples of some other companies that we work with. And the beauty of it all ultimately is they're helping us accomplish our goals, but through their partnership with us, we're helping accomplish their goals. Golf is about hospitality. It's about providing unique opportunities. And as PGA professionals in the section, that's how we give back in return for their partnership, is helping them achieve their goals as well.
And you have a lot of tournaments that you all put on throughout the year that they also help on. Is that correct?
Exactly. I mean, again, we're a professional organization, so we do have a professional purse. We don't give quite away as much as the PGA Tour or what you saw with the Masters. I think our members would really love to get a check like that. But nobody's getting rich by playing in our professional tournaments, but they sure have a lot of fun, and it does supplement their income. And plus, we have a lot of our amateurs in our events. I mean, you talk about events, we really have two style. We have our section events, which everyone in our entire section can play in. And those are our championship structures, our section championship, our section match play, our qualifiers for the national professional championship. But then down at the local level, we have two different types of events. We have events where pros get together and play in pros. But then at the local level that we really love is the pro-ams. And that's where our pros have the opportunity to bring anywhere from 2 to 3 of their amateurs, come out and be able to entertain them for the day, let them just have a great experience, maybe play a golf course that they don't really have the opportunity to get on and play. And at the same time, you know, get together, have a meal together, have fun together, just share. And at the end of the day, you know, someone's going to win. So the pro's going to win a purse check, and the amateur's going to win a nice gift certificate.
Absolutely. I think it's great. I think it's wonderful. I think competition is always good. And I know there's bragging rights out there as well.
Oh, bragging rights are, with our professionals, bragging rights mean a lot. our player of the year is a really, really big deal. Not only does the person who wins that gets to kind of point the finger and say, you know, I beat you through the whole year, but it also gives them the opportunity to play in some of our PGA Tour events here locally, whether it be the Arnold Palmer Invitational or the Valspar Championship. So those are highly sought after positions.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Now, you mentioned just a few minutes ago, you mentioned the pandemic. And I know that in this world of COVID, we've all had to make some adjustments. What kind of adjustments did your section have to make over the past year?
Well, our golf professionals really had to work hard. I tell you, you never want to really look at something like as drastic and as awful as this pandemic has been, but it's done some incredible things for the game of golf. I mean, golf has boomed as big right now as kind of when Tiger Woods first came out. It's the golf professionals, their tee sheets at their courses is just full every single day. And you know, it started kind of, you know, it got a little slow in April, and then it got kind of really, really big again. And a lot of times in the summer months here in Florida, we don't have a lot of play, and the tee sheets stayed full all through the summer. And now in the winter, they're staying full. So, you know, when you look at that, I look at it two ways. Well, what did we as a section have to do? But what did our members have to do? And the beauty of what our members had to do is golf was considered something that was a safe activity. It was an opportunity for our people to get out, get exercise, you know, get out of their home offices, get out of there and be out and just get fresh air and exercises. And it was our role as golf professionals to make sure that we created that safe environment. And our golf professionals just worked their tails off, and they still are, by, you know, making sure that, you know, the golf carts were clean so we weren't transmitting anything, and just following all the rules and things just to make it a safe environment. At that same level, that's what we really had to do as a section. When our members came together, you know, they needed that release. They needed to be able to say, hey, can we come out playing a pro and kind of get away from our club for a day, because we're working 24/7 and everything there. So we really had to, you know, look at it as a whole of how could we put on a safe golf tournament. And in the beginning, you know, we couldn't do shotgun starts like we did. We couldn't put two players in a golf cart. We couldn't do the banquets afterwards. And so we had to kind of constantly modify that. And then as we moved into the different phases and do the different things, we could start adding some things back into it. But you know, we're still in the pandemic. We still got to be responsible and safe. So we're still doing a number of things. But we kind of look at our four keys to success, just probably like any business is doing, is, you know, we still got to take a look at physical distancing. What are we doing so that we're not creating large groups together? We still got to encourage the wearing of the face mask, especially when we're inside. We still got to encourage the personal sanitation, especially as we're talking about rakes and bunkers and carts. We just got to really encourage that. We got to be the role models to that. And then the final area to it is, as a staff, is just our environmental cleaning. I mean, we've got to make sure you wouldn't even think of something as simple, but the starter box that's on the first tee, you know, you couldn't go in and just grab a handful of tees and so forth like that. So we've had to spend a lot of time bagging up tees and making sure that we have sanitizer in a lot of different places. So we're really no different than any other business. We had to adapt. We had to constantly move and change and just make sure that we had a great opportunity. We just had to make sure that our members and our members' guests just, you know, we had to create that responsible environment.
And you've done it. I can tell you, it is difficult to get a tee time these days, but when you do get to the golf course, you do feel, at least here in Jacksonville where I play, you do feel safe. And it is one of those things you can do to still get together with your friends, still have some fun, but like you said, maintain that social distancing that is really, really important as well.
Yeah, and that's the beautiful thing of golf.
Exactly. So as you said, we've had all these new golfers come into the game over the past year. You know, rounds are up double digits all over the place. You have former golfers coming back to the game, you have players like myself who are playing more. So how do we maintain the popularity and retain those golfers moving forward?
Well, let's go back to our core purpose: serve the member and grow the game. The pandemic kind of helped us grow the game. It brought people to the game of golf that haven't. where it's our job as an industry and as golf professionals, we got to make sure that those people are being retained. Unique, we've got something coming up in May. It's a player development summit, and it's where we're bringing in golf stakeholders, whether it be PGA members, LPGA members, golf course owners, general managers, bringing them all together here in Orlando. And the theme of it all is, so the pandemic filled your tee sheet. Mm-hmm. What's next?
Okay.
And the what's next is, how do we maintain that? How do we get people back? And there's so many different ways you got to look at that is, how do you get your teaching and coaching programs so that people can progress so that they don't look at the game as being difficult? How do you get people in playing the game, but do it in a short period of time? For years, everybody said, I don't have time to take 5.5 hours, 6 hours to go play golf. Mm-hmm. How can we make sure pace of play is at 4 hours? Or how do we create opportunities for 3 holes, 6 holes, 9 hole opportunities so that that person only has an hour that can go out and do it? How can we go out there and ultimately just create something, a fun environment to where maybe they don't even have to walk out on the golf course. Maybe it's just a fun social activity that's taken care of on the driving range. A few years ago, I remember that was our CEO at the time, of the PGA of America. And he said, he was sitting in a bar one night and he heard a couple of guys talking about, playing golf. And they went out and said, yeah, I went out, it took us 4.5 hours. We were gone all day. Our wives are mad at us and we're taking them out to dinner tonight because we spent the day at the golf course. And then he heard the other table and they're talking about a couple of buddies. And they said, yeah, we played basketball today. And he kind of started listening. And really all they did is they went in their backyard and they shot hoops for about 30 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. But they played basketball. And so as golf, the moral of this ultimate story is a golf experience does not have to be going out and playing 18 holes. We would love them to do that.
Sure.
But the big thing is we want them just to come out and we want them to be at our golf courses. Whether that's coming out and playing, just hitting golf balls, going to the putting green, going out, taking a lesson, playing 3 holes, 6 holes, 9 holes, or maybe coming out and playing, a full 18 holes. And in the good old days, having that emergency 9 holes. So we want to get them coming out and enjoying all those. And that's what we have to do as an industry is create those opportunities. So when the pandemic is less and all these other activities open back up, those people will still look back and go, golf's really cool. I don't want to stop playing golf, even though I got these other opportunities. I'm going to continue to be a golfer no matter what that looks like.
Well, it sounds like the Player Development Summit's going to be something very, very important next month.
It's going to be great. We're really, really looking forward to it and just getting all the stakeholders together to share best practices and ideas because it's not a one size fits all. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of it is let's get all the minds together and let's talk about, I hate to say it this way, let's take advantage of the one blessing that I can possibly think of with the pandemic is it brought so many people to the game.
Absolutely. And the North Florida PGA section is doing a great job of growing the game and, taking care of all the members and all the people in the public coming out. And of course, all of your 1500 plus members of the North Florida PGA section, you all do a great job, Steve.
Well, Tim, thank you. Really enjoyed the conversation and continued good luck with your podcast.
Now we've been talking with the CEO and executive director of the North Florida PGA section, Steve McMillan. So again, Steve, thank you very much for your time today and everything you and the PGA of America do to promote and grow the game.
My pleasure.
And we'll be talking to you soon, I hope. Thanks again, Steve. We'll be right back. Well, that's all the time we have for this show. I really appreciate you listening and hope you'll let all of your friends and colleagues know about the show as well. And don't be shy about submitting a review of the show on Google or your favorite podcast platform. I'd like to thank my guest today, CEO and Executive Director of the North Florida PGA section, Steve McMillan, for sharing some great insights into his organization. Again, you can find On the Green Podcast on your favorite podcast platform or on my website, onthegreenconsulting.com. And if you have ideas for future shows, please send me an email, tim@onthegreenconsulting.com. I'm your host, Tim Eiley, and until next time, try to keep it in the short grass.